Countries and organisations around the world are now scrambling to deliver aid to the Philippines as the devastation wreaked by Super Typhoon Haiyan becomes clearer. Delivering aid in the wake of a natural disaster is one challenge. Delivering it during a civil war is quite a different one. Today, over 1,000 delegates from aid organisations around the world will gather in Sydney for a one-day forum to discuss working in conflict environments. The current civil war in Syria is the most pressing example of this. This forum has been organised by the Australian Red Cross, and there'll be delegates from over 180 Red Cross and Red Crescent societies from around the world, including from Syria, Jordan and Afghanistan. Among the speakers will be Dr. Peter Maurer. He's the president of the International Committee of the Red Cross. Also, Dr. Mego Terzian, the president of Médecins Sans Frontières. And they both join me now in the breakfast studio. Peter, Mego, welcome to breakfast.
Thanks. Thanks a lot for having us.
Can we begin first with the disaster in the Philippines? And Peter, can I start with you? What is the focus of the Red Cross in the Philippines right now?
Well, the ICRC has been active in the Philippines already for quite some time from former typhoons. And at the present moment, we are just scrambling and trying to find what is happening, the dimensions, and to then to define the response to this important disaster together with the national societies and other partners in the Red Cross and Red Crescent movement.
It's been called one of the most powerful typhoons ever to hit land in the Philippines. What are the reports from your teams on the ground in terms of the situation in the worst hit province of Leyte?
Well, we do not know much about the real dimension, the overall dimensions. We are just scrambling at the present moment to assess the situation.
And Mego, do you have MSF operations on the grounds in the Philippines?
No, I have to admit that we were not present before the disaster in this country, so we lost a lot of time until the arrival of the first team in the affected zone. So we have since yesterday 10 persons. They are on the ground and they will start the assessment soon. Another 20 persons, they will join them in order to organize the response.
And so while we've heard this morning from some of the aid groups on the ground saying their major concern is water and basically the safety of the water, Médecins Sans Frontières, which is Doctors Without Borders, your team goes in to provide health support, healthcare, is that right?
Not only. We have at least four water and sanitation officers in the team, and we'll be capable to respond for health needs and also for non-medical needs as well.
The disaster in the Philippines is another pressure point for all aid organisations, which are always stretched. Do you feel that the work level, Peter, that's the number of disasters you're responding to, I'll ask both of you that, whether that's increasing, is it getting more intense, or from your experience, has it remained fairly consistent?
I think what is of particular concern to us is the intertwining and dynamics of armed conflict and natural disasters, which becomes a more pressing problem over the past couple of years. We see natural disasters more frequent, and we see them happening in conflict zones. The dynamic of the two pose a lot of challenges to the ICRC in particular.
And that really brings us to Syria, but just an answer from you, Mego. Do you see the work level increasing in terms of natural disasters? Is that something you feel is there on the books?
This is the major event following Haiti disaster in 2010. I am more concerned about human-made disaster rather than natural disaster, honestly.
Like the conflict situations?
Yes, and today even if the situation in Philippines it's very critical, but Syria is and will remain the major humanitarian crisis for the coming months.
Let's go to Syria now, because today's forum is called Conflict, Disruption and Displacement, the Changing Face of Humanitarian Action. In Syria right now, Mego Terzian, you've been there recently. What's the major challenge for a group like yours working or trying to work on the ground in that? It's a conflict zone.
Yeah, it's a conflict zone. There is major security concerns, shelling on daily basis, movement of populations, and we are one of the rare NGOs present in the northern part of the country, and we cannot pretend that we are capable to cover all the needs in northern part of the country today.
In fact, we've spoken to a representative from MSF in recent times, and you can only be in the northern part of the country because you are not allowed by the government to have safe passage to work anywhere else?
Since March 2011, we tried to dialogue with the government in order to have official access to the country. We have been rejected, and paradoxically, Islamist groups and other rebel groups are doing dialogue with us and accepting our presence in the country, while the laic government is rejecting any dialogue with our organization.
Peter Mara, I know you were in, you've been to Syria, I think it was last year, and you had a meeting, I think, with the president on this very issue. Can you give us a sense of how that went and what you think is the main aim here for the aid agencies and how much luck you're going to have with the government of Bashar al-Assad?
Well, I certainly join my colleague from MSF that one of the critical issues is security on the ground. It's access to populations in need on whatever part of Syria, under whatever control of Syria. And one of the critical issues is to negotiate access with the government, but also with the armed opposition, in order to have safe access to populations in need for humanitarian agencies. So negotiating with the government for cross-line operations at the present moment is one of the critical issues we are dealing with.
And is there been any yards made in that? Because this has been, as Mego pointed out, for 2 years, aid agencies have been pressing the government.
Well, there are two sides to look at it. On the one side, we have been able to increase considerably food, water, sanitation, elementary household deliveries in the whole of Syria. Health is particularly critical, and whatever we are able to do remains far below what we should be able to do. And this is the real problem. There is a considerable gap between our license to operate, our ability to work on the ground on the one side, and excessive needs we are coping with. And so the restrictions of access remains a big problem.
And what does the president tell you is the reason for that gap? I mean, as you say, you've got a license to operate, the Red Cross in particular, an international license to operate under treaties. What does the president say about why he won't grant safe passage or some kind of aid asylum?
Well, there are always different arguments. There are bureaucratic arguments, there are political arguments, security arguments, that it is not safe to go in a certain zone. So the arguments change, but the problem remains the same, that we do not have sufficient access, in particular to the contested areas of Syria, from Aleppo to the southern border, where a couple of million Syrians have been trapped for months without any reasonable amounts of aid getting to them.
Do you have any access to those areas?
Occasionally and punctually to some of those regions, but not overall access, and certainly insufficient.
Mego, do you want to add to that?
No, I join my colleague. It's the reality. There is a big difficulties to organize cross-frontline aid operations. For the moment, honestly, the only way to assist the population in the northern part of the country where the needs are major, the only way to organize aid is to cross the borders illegally. It is sure, but we feel by crossing the border even illegally that we are legitimate, since the needs are huge and almost no one is present to assist the population except some Syrian associations.
It's 6:58 on Breakfast. Our guest this morning in the Breakfast studio, Dr. Peter Maurer, President of the International Committee of the Red Cross, and Dr. Mego Tezian, the President of Médecins Sans Frontières. Crossing the border illegally, yes, it's illegal, and then there's the safety. How do you, as President of MSF, how do you weigh up the urgent need to protect and aid civilians with the obligation to protect your safe staff and keep them safe?
Yeah, we are. I will be a bit vicious, but to take risk, it's a part of our profession. Even death or to be kidnapped, it's a part of our profession. So we are taking the risks, and we are, for the moment, capable to assume all this risk. But of course, there is limits. Fortunately, for the moment, we have no major security incident related to our staff.
And for the Red Cross?
Well, we take risks as well. We have, unfortunately, people who have been abducted and are still hostages at the present moment in Syria. So we do take a lot of risks, and at the same time, it's a challenge each and every day to weigh access to people in need against security for our staff.
It's 5 to 8 on Breakfast. Can I just ask you both finally, Australia's foreign aid budget has been cut in recent times. It's been cut again by the new government. It'll be cut by $4.5 billion. Foreign Minister Julie Bishop says the government's focusing on empowerment, not handouts. In fact, she says, "I don't believe it's acceptable for Australia to continue to pay billions of dollars each year in aid and for the recipient countries to not meet one of the Millennium Development Goals that was set for 2015. What's your response to that attitude by the Australian government? Is that a fair enough equation? Don't keep giving money if it's not the country getting it, it's not doing the job.
Well, I'm certainly not taking position into a debate which is unfolding at the present moment in many donor countries. What is clear for ICRC is that we witness humanitarian needs increasing, and it's important to respond. We are very grateful for the support of the Australian government that we receive for humanitarian action at the present moment. In many places of the world.
Migo Tezian, do you have a response to Australian government, the last one and this one, scaling back or slowing down our aid contribution? And is that reflective of what other countries are doing?
The same. I am representing a non-governmental organization, and I am not credible to do any comments. As my colleague said, the needs are everywhere, humanitarian needs are everywhere, and not only in Syria. In the neighboring countries of Syria, the needs are immense, and there is a need of an increasing of financial contribution, this is sure.
Okay, Dr. Peter Maurer and Dr. Mego Tezian, thank you very much for joining us on Breakfast.
Thank you very much.
Peter Maurer is the president of the International Committee of the Red Cross, and Mego Tezian is the president of Médecins Sans Frontières, and they're in Australia for this AIDS summit. And if you happen to be in Sydney, the Red Cross, the Australian Red Cross, invites you to visit their humanitarian village. It's a free expo of installations from 40 countries, has speakers in the evening and at lunchtime, cultural performances, photo exhibits, all about helping you understand better what aid groups are doing on the ground. It's at Darling Harbour at the Convention Centre. You're listening to RM Breakfast. It's 3 minutes to 8.